In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are commenting on the Gospel of St. John, chapter 19, and starting from the verse 7. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Listen to this. According to the law given by God himself, to Moses and to the people of Israel, according to this law, this man should die. And this is the Son of God, the one who gave them the law. So they are killing the lawgiver because of their stony heart, because of the darkness in their minds. They couldn't listen to the word of God. They couldn't see the truth. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, because he knew that they called him the king, but now they called him the Son of God. And he felt very much afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Maybe because Pilate was related to the Roman culture, and also the Roman culture mingled for some time with the Greek history and the Greek gods. So they believed in a way that one of the gods may become a man, and they can see him like a man, and one man may be like God. So he had this background. So he was afraid. That's why he asked him, "Where are you from?" Jesus gave him no answer, because Pilate was not ready to understand or ready to believe. He wanted to defend his position. He wanted to just to wash his hands. He cared never for the salvation or the release of Christ himself. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Now the pride of the Roman people, because Christ kept silent. He did not answer this question of where are you from, the nature of Christ as the Son of God. Pilate went angry, and he said it this way, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you?" So as if he felt like, I'm the one who have the power. I can judge now. I can give the sentence of crucifixion. You should speak to me. Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above." So Christ opened his mouth saying the truth. You had no power. I'm the one who have all the powers. If you were given the power from heaven, from the King of heaven, who is the Lord Jesus himself, you may do this or that, but you do not have the power. Many people in this earth believe that they have the power to do many things, to attack churches, to persecute Christians, to blaspheme the name of the Lord. But wait a minute, they do not have the real power. Actually, if it is not given the permission from heaven, no one can do anything. You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. So even the bad actions of many people, they like had the permission from heaven to do whatever they seek. And if the permission came from heaven, definitely this will end up for the goodness of everyone, not for the evil power. Unless it had been given you from above, therefore the one who delivered me to you had the greater sin. And that's an important declaration. Because some people nowadays do not like to consider the Jew people behind the story. Or others may love to give Judas the Iscariot excuse, and they wanted to defend him. Actually, the Lord mentioned this clearly, that it's a greater sin for Judas the Iscariot and for the Jew people, because they delivered Christ to the hands of the Roman Empire. They were behind the whole story. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. Pilate felt weak, felt like this man speaks the truth. This man could be the Son of God. This man could be the real king. So he started to try to find any way to release him. But actually the Jew people were not an easy ones. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend." So it's kind of, telling him, if you do not follow what we are saying, we will tell Caesar that you were following another king. You left someone who called Jesus the king to stay and to make people following him. And this is definitely against the politics of the Roman Empire. So they threat him by this. "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew. So when he was attacked by the sentence saying, "You may be considered against Caesar," he forgot everything and focused only on his position on his throne. He couldn't stand against Caesar. And these Jew people were never easy. They will make it. They will go to Caesar saying Pilate was following another king, was not following the empire. So when he heard that saying, he brought Jesus out, as if, "I don't want to see you again, I don't want to listen to you again, stop everything, let me go my way, I am the Roman man, I have to get rid of any other king but Caesar." Remember that when the Jew people went one day asking Christ about the role of Caesar in their area, he made it clearly that "I'm not against Caesar, because, give what Caesar's to Caesar and what God's to God." So in his teaching, he was not against the empire by word, but they wanted to put this also against him. So he sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement. So when he sat down on his chair, he felt like secured by his position, and he should do what people like him to do. And he forgot everything about his heart, about the truth, about the revealed truth, and he followed them. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." For the last trial, he tried to show Jesus like, "That's your king, so give me your last word. What do you want me to do with your king? It's all about your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." So they were pushed to say the same saying of "crucify him, away with him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Look to this. These are the chief priests, the men of God, the men of the temple. They shouldn't say anything like this because they follow God. They should worship God. Their king is God. But they said, "We have no king but Caesar." So they are not the people of God. They are the kingdom of earth. They wanted Caesar. So they were following this earthly devilish power. So they are not anymore the people of God. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. The sentence came out like what they wished for, crucifixion. Then they took Jesus and led him away. So they started the procedure of taking him to the place where he should be crucified. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. So the place called Golgotha were known as the place of a skull. And most of the Jew people and the early forefathers of the church knew that this area, the skull of Adam, the head of human beings, were buried in this place. So as if saying that the new Adam will be crucified on the skull of the old Adam to solve the problem of Adam and all his generations, to reveal the truth that Christ came to be the second Adam, the Redeemer of humanity. Bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. You know, Jesus was crucified and two thieves were from each side. And that was written in the prophets because he was considered like one of the thieves, one of the people who were accused to death. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. He found no real accusation. So he made the title on his cross. The writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So it was not like a real kind of accusation, but it's for the glory of the Lord, because they had no fault in Jesus. So they put it this way, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read the title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. Many people passed away and could see the cross and could read the title. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And this also was planned by God in order to say that this Jesus, the King, not only for the Jews, but the King of kings, the King of the whole humanity, the Son of God. So it was not only written in Hebrew language, but also in Greek and Latin, because in the coming near future, all people will listen to the word of God and will believe in the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews." They were not happy with what was written, because he made it this way. He was the king, and because being a king, he was rejected by his people and they pushed me to kill him. But he said, "I am the King of the Jews." As if saying to Pilate, "He said, I'm the king." We never say that he is the king, but actually the people said it few days before, and with tens of thousands were crying out, "He is the king." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written. So forget it, that's finished." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to each soldier apart, and also the tunic. Because this man was very famous and beloved by thousands of people, the soldiers thought of taking part of his garments. They did not believe in him as the Son of God, but they understood that this man is different. He is not a thief. They all knew that all the story is about the Jew people and the hatredness in their hearts, and they wanted to get rid of this good man. And that's why they pushed Pilate to do this. Now the tunic was without steam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, "Let's not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says." You know, because the tunic was like one piece, they made a lot to whom it should go, and that was exactly written in the scriptures. "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." As if, you know, David and Isaiah and the prophets were standing before the cross watching all what's happening. So they were witnessing for all the events happening. Therefore, the soldiers did these things. Now they stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother," and from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. Christ on the cross, he cannot speak easily, and he was in very severe pain, agony. But still, he cared so much for his mother, and he gave his mother to his beloved son, the disciple, the most courageous one who stood under the cross beside his mother. So he gave him this gift, his mother, to stay with him. And also, as if saying, for those who will carry their cross, you will be given my mother to pray for you, to bless your homes, because his mother was the most precious human being on earth at that time. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, we are coming to the last few minutes or hours in his journey on earth, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled the spoon with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Just to fulfill the last prophecy at that time, he said, "I thirst." And this sentence, it means not only that he is thirsty for water, but he is thirsty for the salvation of everyone. And because of his love, he is now dying. He is redeeming all humankind. So he couldn't even, you know, drink any sip of this wine, but he said, "It's finished." And bowing his head, he gave us his spirit. Glory to God. Amen.